All right, guys, before we get into this podcast about the 2024 Loretta Lynns, we're going to break down most of the classes, not all of them, some notable ones that we felt that really sort of stick out and have some high drama rolling into this week. So before we get to that, though, we've got to thank some sponsors, Racetech Suspension and Engines. Honestly, you need to get your suspension tuned, and you need to have it set to your weight and or speed, as well as they do some amazing conversion kits for the KTM-branded motorcycles. I did that on mine, and I absolutely love it. And the engine packages that they offer as well are putting them into Supercross main events. So if that's the case for them, then it'll probably add a little bit of horsepower and durability to your situation as well. Guts Racing, WUSA, both companies are absolutely amazing. Want to talk about Luxon MX for a second. If you're looking for your bike to handle a little bit better, if you're looking for the characteristics to change in a positive way, using both the triple clamps or bower mounts, or they also happen to have linkage components, Big MX 2024 is the code to save. You can save 10% off of any one of your purchases. So you spend $1,000, you're getting $100 back thanks to Big MX Radio. So let's get straight into this podcast, guys. Really appreciate you guys. Also, make sure you head over to We Big Moto Co. Those guys have some of the most stylish duds at the track. I've got that washed up local hoodie that I'm wearing just about every other day because, well, I don't have that big of a I don't have that big of a closet. So anyway, guys, let's get straight to the podcast and yeah, enjoy it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the most comprehensive and in-depth Loretta Lynns podcast. This is the Thursday before Loretta Lynns. This is Big MX Radio. I am your host, Brad Gephardt, and with us on the line, joining us for a podcast for the first time, and God knows, it's almost been about 3 months. Zach Heron, Zach, how's it going?
I've missed you, buddy. I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, good to have you back. We're talking dirt bikes. And yeah, you and I may have met at Verbadilla many moons ago, but we spent an entire week down at Hurricane Mills last year. We had heat, we had rain, we have way too much rain and some delays that go along with it. But in that time, we were still able to do a lot of shit talking and bullshitting and foster the relationship that we enjoy today. So this is a special place. Before we get into sort of breaking down some of the classes and what we might see at Loretta's, let's just talk about the race itself. In your eyes, like, what do you see, or like, how does Loretta Lynns sort of, where does it stand in your heart as far as like kind of how special a race it is, the track itself, and just like how aspirational this racetrack really is?
Man, it's you hit the nail on the head. There is nothing like Loretta Lynns. I've been to a lot of different amateur nationals as an announcer, as a spectator, and a couple as a racer, including Loretta's, and nothing even comes close. The industry, the turnout, the atmosphere itself. I mean, I know it sounds cliche and it's overhyped, and you know, all of these videos and all of these people essentially saying the same thing from Travis Pastrana, so on and so forth, all the pros. Loretta's is just different. And it's like you said just a few minutes ago, last year was kind of the perfect picture of it. You get a little bit of everything. You really, while it is one race and it takes place over a week, you get a lot of different circumstances, different terrains that you deal with. It seems like every year, everybody gets at least one wet moto. Last year, it was maybe a little wetter than in years past. Hopefully we don't see quite that level of rain once again, but there's really nothing quite like it. Like I said, I was able to go to Loretta's in the 450C class, folks. All right. Like, by no means was I expecting Mitch Payton to be waiting with a pro contract at the end of the week. Had
what
a great
year was that, by the way?
That was 2015, man. Went 699 for sixth overall in 450C. Just and yeah, I mean, five. Yep. Yeah. Just barely by another Zach too, which really pissed me off. But, nonetheless, man,
there was three of you in a row.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It was close.
Zach Heron, Zach Robinson, and Zach Mangum.
Yep. Yep. The boys. But, no, it was a great week, man. And, that's actually something, you know, I'll be back announcing at Loretta's this year. And it's something that I try to talk about throughout the week. Is take a moment and just realize how special it is to be there. You've got everybody from the industry, tons of pros come walk through the pits, old, current. So many of them have grown up racing there, and it's one of those places where magical things can happen, man. People can come from out of nowhere, and by the end of the week, they're somebody. You know what I mean? There's a lot of people that have emerged. I was there watching when Shane McElrath on a Club MX Honda basically put it to Cooper Webb, and all of a sudden it was like, who is this kid? Yeah. And so, and I mean, obviously Shane had grown up and he'd been around Loretta's, but it seems like every year we have these classes and these rides where heroes are suddenly made, man. They come out of nowhere and it's like, dude, where did this guy come from? And then they're a common name. I mean, it wasn't long ago where Levi Kitchen was kind of like that. He was on a Yamaha, he's rocking Moose gear, and he's just waxing people. And you're like, I was at least like, dude, where is this coming from? I've never heard of this guy, and now he's just putting it to him. And so I think with each and every year, I know we were talking about this a little bit before we hit record, there's a lot of names, there's a lot of excitement coming in. This year's been fun for me because I've gotten to travel more than years past and gotten to meet and see riders in different areas of the country. Obviously, earlier in the year, I got to go do the Verbmoto World Mini Grand Prix over at Mesquite. That was really nice to go over and check out those West Coast riders because it's a whole new group of names. And I was telling you, if those group of riders, mostly in the mini senior and super mini class, you take them and then you take some of the heavy hitters from the East Coast, they're going to line up in Tennessee and it's going to be so much fun to watch. You've got the random gate picks to start the first motos. It's the track itself is beautifully difficult in its simplicity. There's not really anything that's crazy complicated. There's no tricks. There's nothing that's deceiving except for how complicated simple can be. It's going to be deep. It's going to get rougher than probably anything you've ever seen. Riders are going to have to learn to adapt throughout a moto. That's something that a lot of amateur kids don't have to deal with because they're running five lap races is, hey, you're probably not going to be able to run the same line throughout the entire duration of your moto. And so
or be leading the entire thing.
Exactly. So exactly.
What you're used to is just checking
and
out.
You might, better. You know, if you're somebody that's normally, hey, I can get a top 10 start, you know, I can be 10th coming out of the first turn, work my way to first place and get a win almost every time in my local series, even in my state championship race. Here at Loretta's, dude, the battle for 20th place is just as hot as the battle for the top five. And so the fight never ends. You know, it's like we said, you're fighting the weather. It's going to be brutally hot. It's going to be super humid. And you're going to feel it every time you slow down and you're kind of hooking in one of those ruts. You're going to feel that sun beating down on you. The roughness really provides a lot of opportunity for guys to set their bike up. I think that's another thing that's different, especially for those older riders on the 250s and 450s. Bike setup is going to be key. A lot of these guys, depending on how supported they are from manufacturers or amateur racing teams, they're maybe not used to adjusting the bike on the fly. Hey, you know, you go out for a practice session. How many guys do you have pulling over and adjusting clickers and stuff like that? So it really is a true test of everything that embodies racing. You've got to do the preparation beforehand. I hate to break it to you, folks. Like you said, it's the Thursday before we go racing. If you haven't been hitting the pavement, if you haven't been doing the time, it's too little too late. You almost shouldn't even load up, because I guarantee you the rest of your class has, and I guarantee you the people holding medals at the end of the week and holding up the big trophy, they've been putting in the work. All of these riders from the 50 classes onward, it's the best of the best, and you've got to put in the work to be at the top. There's nothing that happens really by chance. Luck, I feel like while it is a small part of it, it always seems like the cream rises to the top. You know what I mean? And the best find a way to get it done. So, yeah, it's all of those cliches in one, man. It is exactly what everybody says it is. There's nothing like it until you've seen it in person. And I tell people all the time around me, if you've never been, first time I ever went out to it, I was just spectating. I had a friend of mine that qualified, and my mouth was just wide open the whole time, man. It's so cool. The racing is some of the best you can find in the entire world. I love it. We'll be live on racertv.com all week long. We'll be streaming every single race so you can watch the action from home. But the cameras can only catch so much, man. I'm telling you, it does not truly capture how rough the track gets and how gnarly some of these battles are until you're there in person. And you got to experience that for the first time last year.
Yeah, I was there for the first time last year. And honestly, of all things, like there's a lot of things that get overhyped. And like this, it could not have been overhyped. When I went there, like everyone says the track is small and you're like, okay, it can't be that small. It's small. But they also say like, oh, it gets rough. Like how rough could it really get? It is smaller than you think it gets. It is. It's rougher than you could ever imagine coming into some of the corners. Like, I'll argue that one point that there's not a lot of complicated sections. That triple heading off of Storyland, dropping into those ruts. Yeah, I want no part in that. And the track itself is it's a combination of different surfaces. It, like you said, it gets rougher throughout the entire moto. The only place that they really touch throughout the day is that making the start straight absolutely smooth as glass. They have literally like the days that were dry, it was like they would as soon as the gate dropped, they like literally the tractor is just like smoothing that all over again and again, like just basically making 1,000 passes over it while the moto, the 20-minute long moto, and it does not matter if you are in the 250B class or the 65cc 7-9 class, you're in it for a long moto. These kids get good starts, they get bad starts. All of them are expected to be near the front, and they ride that way. And that's I think that's why the racing is so good at Loretta's, is it's the ultimate measuring stick. Many, many years ago, in fact, probably around the year 1982 or 3, there was a problem in the country of the U.S. The OEMs, the Kawasaki, Honda, Suzuki, Yamaha, that was the big four back at the time. I don't think KTM was all that active, especially in the States. But so they couldn't figure out, okay, who's the best kid? Is it the kid from Florida? Well, we never really saw him race against that kid from California. Or that kid from Washington, he never ended up coming all the way down to Florida to race that kid, or he never went all the way out to Southwick or Unadilla to go race against the kids from the Northeast. Like, you don't really know what you have. And also, those kids don't end up going to the middle of the country and squaring off with the kids from Missouri or Colorado. So how do you really know? Well, they qualify from in all the different areas. You have to do well at the area in order to race the regional. And then at the regional, racing against guys who had to qualify to get there, you got to be top four. Every single one of these kids that goes to this race, whether their name is Drew Adams or Heath Harrison, you had to be the cream of the crop wherever you qualified in order to just get onto the line. That's who you're racing against. None of those guys sign up and be like, yeah, I'm looking for a top 30 this week. No. Every single one of those kids, regardless of the classes, whether the pressure is placed upon themselves or their environment around them, like parents or sponsors, they all expect to be top five. But last time I checked, there's only five spots in the top five. So that means 35 kids from every single class, including the alternates, are going to be disappointed. That's what I love about the race. It is also the absolute cream of the crop. One of the things I don't love is honestly the panic that you see some of these kids riding with. If they like, they know damn well they're supposed to be in the top five and they're rolling around in the top 25. That almost kind of is a little bit heartbreaking because you can literally see the kids like they're just like ringing the bike out to no end. And there's only so many positions they can make over their way forward. But this race always produces some incredible stories, like Adam C. and Cirillo. I think it was his last year on Super Minis, goes down first lap and still ends up passing all the way to the front. These kids have that kind of time. But yeah, it's going to be fantastic. And this is the kind of the race that creates monsters of men. This is the Shane McElrath situation where he literally like is very fairly unknown. All of a sudden he comes out on a weekend or a week that he wasn't expected to do much, goes ahead and beats Cooper Webb. Like Cooper Webb was all over Verb Moto and Moto Playground and the Pickle and all that stuff back in the day. Shane McElrath goes out and beats him and he's still racing pro to this day.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, you can go back even a little bit further. Dakota Alex rolls into the week on his RM85. He goes to battle in Super Mini class, banging bars with AC and Cooper Webb. By the end of the week, he's got a Red Bull helmet. I mean, there's so many stories just like that. And like you said, I think my My favorite thing, and the thing that I think is most beautiful about this race, is also kind of the most heartbreaking thing. And it's, I call it the dream factor. It's what I love about amateur racing is when you go to a professional race, it's business. These guys are racing for money. This is their job. And you see that it's a professional atmosphere, just like you would see at an NFL stadium or an MLB stadium, anything like that. These are professional paid athletes. When you go to something like Loretta Lynn's, especially Loretta's, because it is that pinnacle of amateur racing, like you said, it is the one real stop where we get to find out who's the top dog from the entire country. And I firmly believe that the kids on the West Coast believe that, and the kids on the East Coast believe that. The kids in the center, up north, down south, they all know, hey, the best of the best, they're all going to want to be here because they know this is where everybody's watching. But that dream factor, man, nobody gets there alone. Mom, dad, little brother, little sister. I mean, that's where it all starts, right? Is the family. You go back every year before I go out there, I watch Troy Adamitis's The Heart of Motocross, man. And it's like, it's such a great capturing of the different stories that are coming into that property, man. You've got so many different expectations and so many different hardships and struggles just to show up on the property. Then you got to go out and do battle out there. And man, I get to see it up close and personal, man. I get to see the happy tears. I get to see the cries as kids are rolling by the impound area that didn't make the top 10. And it does. It happens every year, man. And, dreams are realized and dreams are shattered out there. And that is, it's beautiful in a way, man, because that's what it's all about, right? Is chasing these goals and living these dreams and giving yourself and giving your child or your rider the opportunity to do it. And I think that's at the end of the day, that's what it's all about is, you know, you see the pride these parents walk around with. They're spending thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to get out there. And you know what? I think a lot of people would be shocked to know how many of those parents know, hey, little Timmy's probably not going to be Ricky Carmichael. Mm-hmm. But you know what? When little Timmy's going to work and when little Timmy looks back on life, he's going to look back and say, they did everything possible to give me the opportunity. I mean, hell, I do. I mean, I get emotional just thinking about it, man. My parents, we didn't have the money to go out there. We didn't have the money to put into a bike to go out in the C class with no real expectation of being a pro racer. But man, A, that is hands down some of the best memories that I have of my childhood growing up and the time that was spent on the road, not even getting out to Loretta's. That obviously was fantastic. But like you said, the whole journey, the struggles, I mean, Florida's regional one weekend, then having to go to Unadilla the next weekend to race the Northeast regional. I mean, it's a journey, man. And I think that's the coolest part about it is the family atmosphere. It's kids, you know, these kids can go out and they're doing the fiercest battle. They're sawing off front ends and this, that, and the other thing. And at the end of the moto, it's, you know, the 56-7 class or 4-8. They've got toy dirt bikes. They're over in the back. They've built a track and they're hanging out having fun. They're playing in the creek.
Diving in the creek. And
exactly, man. And it's just so damn cool to see that, man, because it really is. They call it the greatest motocross vacation ever. And that's what it is. It's families getting to see the result of their hard work and sacrifice. And so, yeah, man, I'm really excited. I'm excited to dive into some of these classes because I said, man, we've got some big names this year and it's going to be a fun one in 2024.
All right. And yeah, absolutely. No, this race is a special one and, we're going to dive straight into breaking down a few of the classes. We don't have time to break down every single one of them. But I did pick out a few that I feel are very pivotal, also very star studded. And then, we're just going to kind of comb through it. First run off the docket. Gotta talk about the open pro sport. These guys are basically like they're the stallions in the docket that are about to go out and race professionally. Some of these guys already race professionally and they're back up for a little bit more Loretta Lynn's glory. Of course, if you had a successful pro career, you have to race either this class or plus 25, correct?
Yeah, the way I understand it is it has to, if you scored a point, you have to run one of these classes. I think that's the cutoff between the amateur and the pro. But yeah, obviously, like in open pro sport, you've got riders like Jacob Hayes, Andrew Short, obviously very accomplished riders. Yeah, Martinez, absolutely. And so all of these guys, this is where they're at. So that's one of the things that I love about this class is I feel like this one in particular, you get a little bit of past and then a little bit of the future. You've got the Avery Longs, you've got the Drew Adams, you've got Cole Davies. And so it's going to be very, very interesting to see. I was able to announce the amateur regional at Etchikani MX.
And did they have good dirt see, there?
Oh my God. Oh dude. I was so mad. I couldn't even walk out there cause I was on crutches. Oh, and yeah, so I really didn't even get to like take it in, but God, that track looks so damn fun. I told Matt Walker, as soon as I get an opportunity, I'm coming and I'll camp out in the announcer's tower. And I just want to ride at some. I honestly, they were going so damn fast. I was kind of glad I wasn't out there because there's no way I could do it that quick. But God, that track looks so much fun. But yeah, going back to that, Avery Long, he was the guy to beat out there. Jacob Hayes was hot on his heels, though, man. Hayes is fired up. He's feeling really good on his Honda. Heath Harrison was out there. He had a really good performance. But I think you're a fool if you're not looking at the number 33 of Drew Adams and saying that he's the guy to beat.
Yeah, absolutely. He's been up in Canada. He's lost very few motos. If he's had a chance to lead a moto, he usually hasn't been letting go of it. Casey Bernard, as well as Jace Allred, you know those boys do a lot of battling in the RMX series. I expect both of them to get good starts. I expect both of them to be up there. You also have I believe it was a 450B limited champion from last year, Jaden Cooper. He's going to be there. He's out of Texas. But there's a long list of guys in this class that have expectations to do very well. Of course, Andrew Short's going to be in this class. He's no slouch. When guys like Andrew Short, like guys who won outdoor nationals on a 250, led outdoor nationals. I think he won an outdoor national on a 450 as well, if I'm not mistaken. Won Supercross. Like when they come back to this class, I don't think the expectation of like that they put upon themselves or that people have for them is that they're just going to ride around. Like I think Andrew Short is sort of has the expectation to at least be a top five guy, and Cole Davies, Jeremy Fafani, Revan Gordon, Jacob Hayes, Israel, like Christian Janik, all these guys are going to have something to say about it. Like, yeah. This is a very, very deep class. Like, you even have Evan Stice, who's been racing up in Canada, Enzo Timmerman on the Kawasaki. He's coming off of a knee injury. Parker Ross. Like, I just named off 10 people. And, like, is Shorty going to be in there? Like, I don't know if he's still got the skills to pay the bills, but you're going to have your hands full when you're announcing this moto, my friend.
Oh man, that's what I mean. It's going to be a blast, and there's so many different ways that it can shake out. Obviously, that first start and that little chip, man, it's going to set the tone. And if what I hope is that we get these guys, I hope we get them all in a group, but I hope they're in a group like outside the top five, and we get to see them all do work and pick their way through, because it's going to be a blast. Like I said, we had some heavy hitters at that regional. I've seen some highlights from the other regionals as well, and everybody, I think, has only gotten sharper since then. We've had a couple of weeks, over a month since Etchikani. Like I said, people have been putting in the time. They've got everything dialed in. A lot of these riders, most of, if not all, I would say, have been to Loretta's in previous years on big bikes, so they know roughly the way they want to set it up. The track doesn't really change a ton, so they kind of know what they want to do. Like I said, Hamden Hudson, that's another one. He had some good runs. Noah Stevens. Yep, Driscoll, he's going to be one to watch. I mean, the entire top 10, Patrick Murphy, he was coming up off an injury. We haven't even mentioned Liam Olaf.
He's been quiet. He's been very quiet, but he's been, that kid's got some serious speed.
Yep, absolutely. You're talking
about Patrick Murphy as well?
Patrick Murphy, he was at Etchikani. He had a really strong ride to, I don't know exactly what the injury was, but I know he put a post out saying he didn't ride quite like himself. Not sure exactly what his status is going to be, whether it's 100% or whatever by Loretta's, but I know he's going to be out there. And we've seen it before. Sometimes not being at 100% isn't always a deal breaker, man. You get a good start, adrenaline dumps, and we've seen people hang on for the win with worse going on. So that's what I mean. The start's going to set so many things up. While the track is, these guys are super creative and they're able to make passes, it's not the easiest track ever to pass on. And especially, you know, some of these lines, they get blown out. These guys are really good at adjusting. And so I think your entire top 10, what I'm curious to see about is the consistency, because we do have so many different riders that are, I would think with podium expectations, I really think we could see a lot of shuffling around inside the top 10. And that's what I want to see. I want to see everybody
eight guys who expect to win a moto. And last time, there's not eight motos.
Exactly. And so it'll be very curious to see, because that is something that we see a lot too throughout the course of a week, is that guy that gets sixth suddenly finds himself between 5 and 10 every moto. You know what I mean? The way it just kind of seems to work out. So I will be very curious, and that's going to be a common theme throughout a lot of these classes, is you're going to have 5 to 10 riders that expect to be on the podium, and you're going to have a lot of people shaking their head at the end of the week wondering what happened. And so, it'll be fun to watch, man. I mean, like I said, I'm a fan of these new kids. Obviously, like I said, Long looked really good. I think, you know, the results for Drew Adams speaks for himself. Cole Davies has looked really good. But I think also, like you said, you're going to have Andrew Short there to jack up the program. He's not there to turn in laps. He's there to make a point. Jacob Hayes, I promise you, he's taking it serious. You know,
he's Heath in Harrison, shape too.
He is, dude. I mean, Heath Harrison, you know, he's going to be up there off the start. So, these guys are the old Wiley vets, right? They got the craftiness. They've got the experience. And so it's going to be really fun to watch. And, you know, as if this class wasn't already fun just because of the skill level, when you really have people that I think are going to be able to make it a genuine battle. Without a doubt, it's circled on my calendar or yearbook for the week. So I know exactly when it's going on.
100%. No, I'll be looking forward to you calling those motos. I know you will be having your eyes peeled for Jorge Rubalcaba, because, of course, he is running number 16 in that class.
Yes. Yes. I'm always looking for my number 16s out there. And then my North Carolinians as well. Noah Stevens, the only one listed from North Carolina, but Jacob Hayes, I know your secret. He's from right down the road in Greensboro. So I still count him as a local boy. But no, man, it's going to be a lot of fun there in open pro sport. And, you know, Cole Martinez, he always seems to perform really well out there. Another one of those riders that you don't see a ton of as far as in the moto scene. So yeah, dude, it's going to be good. I really think it's going to be good. And I don't think, while I do think Drew is going to be kind of the guy to beat, I think he's going to have his hands full. So.
Oh, for sure. If you call that, if you're calling a win on that class, you going with Drew as well?
Yeah. Yeah. I really, after seeing some of his rides in Canada, he seems like he's a guy that makes it happen either way, man. Goes down. He's not phased. He's in shape. Exactly. He really seems to be comfortable on the bike. So, he's who I think is carrying the expectation to win. Let me put it like that.
Yep.
So, I think if he's able to execute like he has before, then he'll be holding the plate at the end of the week.
Absolutely. So, let's move over to, one of the most, I think honestly, this is one of my favorite classes to watch, mainly because I'm a two-stroke guy. Also, I just love to see these kids at the absolute precipice of moving on to the big bikes. Like, I'd venture to say that about 80% of the kids that we see in this class this year will be on a four-stroke or at least a big bike next year. So this is the Super Mini 2 13 to 16 class. This is a hallmark of this event. Ricky Carmichael's won this class. James Stewart has won this class. Michael Lessie has won this class. Villopoto, tons of guys who have gone on to have amazing careers, have cut their teeth, and like maybe the stiffest competition they saw as amateurs was in this class. Like just looking down the line, it's a murderer's row of fast amateur kids that have been on Super Minis for a number of years now. This is the oldest group on the Super Minis. Kids like Dakota Baker, You know he's going to come with some serious speed. But I guess we finished the last conversation with number 16. Might as well start this next class with number 16 because I think I like him to actually be able to win this class if he get, especially if he gets good starts. The 16 machine of Team Green Kawasaki's Carson Wood. He won't be running his normal number 260 out there, but he might be out front by at least 26 seconds.
I tell you what, man, he's looking strong, and it's not just because he's got the number 16 on the bike and it's green, but Doug Duchette over there, he already knows I'm coming to take some pictures of that bike as soon as I get there because, God, it just looks so pretty. Side note, how good – I know that these guys aren't running it, but how good does yellow backgrounds look on a Kawasaki?
I have yellow backgrounds on my my 252 stroke. I have a hard time pulling those number plates off of it. It looks so good.
You know, I love them, but I've never run them. But yeah. Nonetheless, I digress. Yeah. No, man, this is another one where, man, where do you put your money at? Because like you said,
Carson Vincent Way is going to have something to say about this.
That's exactly where I was about to go, man. Vincent Way is going to have a point to prove. Dan and Reed, he was really strong earlier this year, obviously. Tate Reed's in there as well. I got to give a shout out to my GNCC boys. Caleb Wood and yes, Braden Baisley are both, they're running 1 and 2, I believe, in the YXC1, which is the top super mini or top youth class in GNCC.
Yep.
These boys, while they may not be putting in motos as far as on a motocross track, which I know they have been, well, obviously Caleb's since the end in of moto,
he's by more yeah. like he's at the Shoals. They're riding Woods like one day a week. They're motoing down all the time, and he rides right. 250 a lot.
Absolutely, yeah. And so I think he's got some. I just saw he did a retro bike theme. Braden Baisley's been right there with him. These guys are doing battle for an hour and a half out in GNCC, and they finished less than a second apart. So I look for them to be in shape. Not sure where exactly I see them finishing, but nonetheless, got to give them a big shout out. I always think that's cool having those guys jump over and showing what they've got in the other disciplines. Just going down the line, man, I mean, Darren Pine's in there. Wyatt Thurman.
Darren Pine. Yep.
Man, it's just, again, where do you pick a winner at, man? I think there's this one specifically for me. I think there's more question marks. I think you're too big.
Someone in here is going to surprise someone. I can tell you
exactly,
that.
Exactly. I think Vincent Way and Carson Wood are probably carrying the most expectation coming into the week.
Right. Yeah. But then here comes Wyatt Thurman. Like, see you later.
Right. Yep. Yep. And so I wouldn't be surprised. Pruitt,
he's been on super minis for 3 years now. Like, that's a lot of time on that chassis.
Exactly.
Like, he's going to know his motorcycle.
I mean, I'm trying to see if there's anybody else that, Ryder like, Ellis.
Let's just talk about, Tate Reed for a second. He's an alternate. Like, right. There was, like, obviously everyone watched the YouTube, watches the YouTube series. Everyone saw that he was obviously very disappointed. He's coming in as an alternate. Does that put pressure on, or does that put wind in his sails? Because, like, on one respect, you're like, I'm glad I got in. I get to kind of prove myself, but at the same time, like, it's, you might not feel like you completely belong there. You know what I mean? Like, I got in on a little bit of a, like,
yeah,
my way to get in.
I think the mindset with Tate and I don't watch all of their vlogs and stuff like that, but, yeah. At least from what I've seen, the thing that I think Chad does right is he's not a mini dad in the sense of like, this is everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think Chad, obviously he's got the finances, he's got the experience, and he's got, I mean, let's just say it, he's got the reputation. He's able to get Tate where Tate needs to be throughout Tate's life. You know, if this is the course that Tate wants to do,
yep.
Seems like he holds Tate very accountable.
Yep.
You know, I think Chad was there saying, hey, you came up short, man. Like, you know, we'll see how the cards fall. But I don't necessarily think he's going to sit there and feel like I shouldn't be here. You know, at the end of the day, you had to earn that alternate position just like you had to earn the ticket. I think, you know, I don't know how it works with alternates. They don't actually get a physical ticket, right? They just get told that they're
–
because as far as I know, I think he is in. I think he's
The fact that he's on this list means he's
yeah.
in. Because there's another like on that class, there is an alternate list. Like the fact right. that there's kids who come all the way out there and spend the money, like the alternates are Carson Bullen and Piper Bell.
Yep.
I'd assume Cooper that at least one of them is going to be on hand.
Yep. Cooper Webb's first year ever going to Loretta's in the 50 class. He was an alternate and never got wow. the race. Yep. That's and expensive. So, yeah, man. I mean, like I said, going back to the sacrifices and just the chance, you know, I mean, and there's a lot of vet riders, a lot of C riders that are going out there just yeah. fingers crossing, man. You never know. And so the way I look at it and the way I would be talking to Tate Reed if it was me is, hey, man, however you want to look at it, you're here. Okay. Right now you are number 42. All right. You are the last guy. Anything beyond that is success.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. I mean, I think that's the way you've got to look at it. I think it's going to be competition like he's never seen before. And for me, when I say competition, it's the intensity, man. These dudes, even in the Supermarket, they're freaking tough, man. They ain't scared of contact. They ain't scared to run it in on you. Just the aggression that they ride with, you don't find that often. And so, obviously, Tate rides with a lot of good people. He spent some time on big bikes with yep. some pretty fast dudes, some Hayden Deegan guy. I don't know. Never heard of him. But
yeah,
anyway,
yeah, yeah.
You know, he's obviously got great role models to look after. He's around good riders. So, I think for this – this is a note year for Tate Reed. Hey, I want to walk in with a notebook open and I want to leave the property with a notebook full of here's how I can improve. Here's what I learned as far as an athlete. Here's what I learned about bike setup. I think if anything, this is a great base year. I don't think they're coming in with a lot of expectations. And
maybe that's the best way though. Like, just
yeah,
like,
I think that's what's going to give him the most
if
success.
If the pressure
yeah.
can be, if the pressure can be off for your first time at the ranch where pressure is kind of always on, I think that's just a bonus. Like you almost get like I wouldn't call it an exhibition game, but like you get a year going there where like it's not like there isn't like 1,000 cameras on you. Like if this kid doesn't win, what now for him? Is he going to go pump gas?
Well,
like, that's not going to be the case.
I also think Tate is probably used to living with a certain amount of pressure all the time.
Yes.
He's Chad Reed's kid. I mean, at the end of the day, that pressure is going to be there. When dad's behind you on the starting line,
yeah.
the kids next to you are, oh, my God, that's Chad
He's
Reed next to me.
Fourth in all
you know?
Time
and,
Supercross wins.
Yeah, and so, I mean, it's like I think – I say this about Deegan as well. I think because of their popularity and maybe the hype that surrounds them as people – it takes the intensity and the pressure of certain situations down because they always feel the pressure. And so I'm sure there's going to be a vlog going. I'm sure there's going to be cameras rolling on Tate all week long as there should be. I think
no, they're not going to capitalize on this opportunity.
They'll yeah. Probably. Well, that's what I mean. Why film this one? Right. So, I mean, I think it's, you know, because of that, he's going to look over and see that camera guy recording him at Loretta Lynn's, just like he sees that camera guy recording him at the NCMX races I announced him at 2 years ago. You know what I mean? So in a lot of ways, I think he's used to it. So my hope, like I said, I don't know any of this, but my hope is that Chad and Ellie and the whole family are going out to have fun, to experience it, and to, you know, support. Hey, I don't think he's going to get last. So, you know, there's always, it seems like a DNF or a mechanical or a crash or something like that. And, you know, if I was Tate Reed inside the top 20 should be a solid goal.
Yeah.
You know, no, I think that should like, be a
solidly
solid
in the
goal.
Mid-pack is that's, yeah.
And no slouch, dude. And super mini too. That's a no easy task. And
boy,
so,
those kids are ripping.
Oh my God.
We haven't even mentioned Ryder Ellis. Like, and he dude, was that, hurt last year. Yeah. He ended up kind of skipping his last year on 85s. But he's going to come to play. And
yeah. What about this Tyler Kirby kid? He's from Canada. You know him?
I do not know Tyler Kirby. I've heard the name. But actually there's two Canadians. Tyler Kirby as well as Alex Guantanamo Bay. I don't know. Is that, Adamo? Not good. I don't even know. I don't know.
Where are you at? What
Alec?
Number?
Alec, number 12.
Alex
God.
Guadagno, maybe?
Dogno? Interesting. It's also showing like kind of Canada, but also like, oh, I guess it's CA. It's also Canada. It's actually an international field. You got one Australian in there with Jake Nunn.
Eli.
What's he on? It's called an other? OT, OTH?
I guess. Yeah,
Is
I
it a
don't know.
beta?
Possibly, maybe a TM.
I think they have, yeah, no, TM's in there with Logan Webb.
Oh yeah, Logan Webb.
I'm always curious when you see like there's always like some kid that's running like a TM, like obviously Masterpool raced one back in the day, or like I'm always surprised if you see someone like riding a, there's literally no Suzukis, which breaks my fucking heart.
Oh, dude, there was a time where this was a sea of yellow.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Like it
Oh,
was just yellow and green. Yellow and green. There's like be like a random kid named Zach Osborne on a KTM, or what was it? Blake Wharton on a KTM. But aside from that, just nothing but cowies and Suzukis. But yeah.
All right, let's do a pick here. I'm gonna go. Just green and 16, babe. I'm gonna go Wood with the win. Carson Wood.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you on that one. I think
Okay.
it's his time. It's his time. I think that if honestly, I think both of them are in both super mini classes, would not be at least at all surprised to see him take one of them and to see Vincent Way make his voice known in the other super mini class, super mini one, which is like yeah, they're both in that class. Let's go over to let's stay on super minis. But mini senior one and two are essentially like this is actually where you start to lose a lot of amateur fans or motocross fans to like kind of like paying attention to amateur racing. Is there what's the
Yeah.
difference between mini senior and super mini? And like I don't even know if you know all the sort of the ins and outs of it, but essentially in mini senior it allows you to run different size wheels, correct? Like you don't have to run super like a super mini front and rear. Actually, I've talked to a few of these kids that run a big wheel in the back and a small wheel in the front, which I think would make the bikes feel really weird. Yeah, apparently not the case.
Yeah, I don't know the exact like AMA breakdowns on the rules, but I believe you're correct in the sense of the super mini is the full bigger big wheels, because
And both of
I
these are mod
believe this.
classes, like there's no limited
Yeah,
attached to it, so these things are as horny as it gets.
well, and I think these wasn't this at one time called like the 85 big wheel class or something like
Yes.
that, like, and so yeah, it's kind of evolved over the years. My first year ever coming to Loretta's, Justin Hoft, the guy that I came with was racing mini senior, and Justin Hoft actually won the class. And so, yeah, it's been around for a little bit, but this has got a lot of those riders that I said I was really excited to see coming into the season. Right off the bat, running number two this year, Kevin DePino. He's from Hamer, South Carolina, down there at south of the border. He runs a lot of the local races that I'm at here. He's been, for a long time, he's been at the top of the field, but I do think on a national level, he's starting to get a little more noticed, and I think this is going to be a big year for him if he's able to get off the start. Chase Dashiell, he's another kind of local rider that I'm excited to see what he's able to do. Wyatt Duff, he was out at World Mini, kind of the East Coast representative, making the trip out there. First of all, really, really polite kid on the podium and
Great
stuff like
background too.
that. Yeah, was super kind. Gave great interviews, shouted everybody out. But man, an absolute beast on the bike, man. I'm really excited to see what he's able to do. He's in my mix for a possible win. I'm trying to see who else we got. Gage Dunham, I think he's got a point to prove. Reese Sebo was one of the riders that he was battling,
Yeah.
or that Wyatt Duff was battling with out at Mesquite. They were, I mean, they were going as close as you could, man, without smashing into each other. Then you've got guys like Dane Pappas. Obviously, I think he's got some big expectations coming into the week.
He's been under the
I th
radar too. Like if
yes.
you're on the West Coast at all, like seeing him, like he raced some spring nationals. He made some noise there. When I was down at the final round of the RMX series last year, I don't think he put a wheel wrong. He led every single moto that he raced in that series. So, yeah, like these kids have the skills to pay the bills. And don't forget about Maverick Gish. He'll be coming to play as well. Like, a lot of these kids are going to have a lot of pressure and have a lot of expectations on themselves. And yeah, you saw Seba and Duff firsthand battling each other on a track that neither one of them are like sort of like they don't ride there very often. So that's kind of cool to see kids sort of like adapt to a track, learn it, and then go do battle at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. And from what I've seen, Wyatt's had some success since then. Obviously, very different terrain from the out west, kind of more hard packed, drier type conditions to what you'll see at Loretta's. But it's going to be really fun to see, man, just the racecraft that those guys had. I mean, 12 to 14 years old, but man, the way they manhandle the bikes around and their ability to block and to take different lines, it's going to be impressive, man. I think obviously you can't state how important the start's going to be, or you can't state enough how important the start's going to be. But yeah, I'm going to go 44. I'm going to take Duff as holding the plate at the end of the week. I'll be curious to see. I think he's got to be carrying a lot of expectation coming in. I think Seba's able to run that pace. I'm very excited to watch DePino and the West Coast guys that I got to see do battle. I haven't got to see DePino and Duff race one another straight up. And so, yeah, I think this is going to be another fun one to watch. And I mean, I agree. I think a lot of the amateur fans, they kind of cut off at Super Mini, but I think if you're going to drop it down, you know, one wheel size, I think the mini seniors are one to watch.
Yeah, certainly. And I'm going to be a little bit contrarian on this particular one. I think Kevin DePino has the most raw speed of any of these riders. I think his starts have been on point in the past. He's coming out of South Carolina. Both these kids kind of born and raised in this style of dirt that you find at Hurricane Mills. I think this is maybe one of the classes that the kids on the West Coast maybe struggle with the most, because like they have the least amount of experience racing out east in the deep ruts. I always say that in out in California, you ride on the soil. On the East Coast, you ride in the soil. I think that's something that kind of runs into some issues. I'm actually very curious to see what we see from Jack Nunn coming all the way from Australia. If you're coming from the other side of the world essentially to race this thing on a super mini, I don't think you show up to try and get 20th. So I don't know what to expect from him, but the fact that he's coming from all that way either tells me that they've got big dreams or big expectations, perhaps both. So that's someone to keep an eye on as well. And like I said, Dane Pappas, don't sleep on Dane Pappas. That kid gets he gets good starts, and he'll probably lead some laps throughout the week. Let's move over to one of the most, maybe one of the deepest classes on the small bikes that I've seen in quite some time. You're going to get the Moto Geek in here, number 18, at Sawyer Geek, out of Wyoming. Does he live in Wyoming, or like he must train somewhere else?
I was about to say, I don't personally know, but I don't see any way you'd be able to get adequate time out there.
I think he's a club kid or like a south of the border kid. I'd have to look at his Instagram, but that kid is crazy fast. Aiden Goff, super fast. Easton Graves, first year coming off of 65s. He's a full-time 85 rider now. This is the 85 cc 10 to 12 class. This is a proving ground for kids in this age bracket. What are your thoughts?
This is to me where it's getting on the radar, you know, for those kids that didn't have the superstar rides on 50s and 65s.
Which is crazy. You
know, I say that again.
Which is just, it's crazy to say that there's like 65 all-stars.
Oh, right? Yeah, absolutely. But if you think about it, yeah, by this time, 10 to 12 years old, like most people knew who Ryder DeFrancisco was, you know, like it's crazy to think about that, but that's one of the wild parts of this sport. But yeah, so I think there's a lot of, we talked about the dreaming and the hoping. I think you're getting a lot of that in this class. I think the 81 of Tace Morgan, I think he's going to be probably the guy everybody's going to be looking at. He rides with pro riders. He puts in the time. He's got a lot of backing and seems like a lot of belief coming from Yamaha, and he's been able to live up to it. Was out at World Mini, had some really solid performances as well.
Don't sleep on Jackson Vic.
I'm not, man. I was about to say that's another a guy I've seen have some really strong rides. I like the way I like Jackson's riding style. And so I think he's fun to watch on the bike. And so I think a lot of these guys I think are gonna be very start dependent. Nolan Ford, he's another rider that I think will be up near that top five. I think Easton Graves. Easton kind of, he walks with a little swagger. You know what I mean? I feel like he kind of likes telling himself that he's the guy. And yeah. So I think with that.
Just over in Europe for the world championships.
Yep. Yep. Just got over that. Just got finished with that. And yeah. What'd they get over there? Fifth, I think.
Something like that. They were expecting a little bit more, I think. But
yeah.
When it comes to international races, like for whatever reason, both Canada, well, Canada wasn't even there. But the U.S. usually gets a slice of humble pie when it comes to racing on a far-off land somewhere like that. But
yeah, I think they got some weather too. But nonetheless, you know, coming off of that, I think he's obviously he's in race shape. He's kind of he's gotten some gate drops and stuff like that. So yeah, this is like you said, it's kind of the proving grounds for getting to those big dogs. You know, I think. You know, these kids are looking at Wyatt Duff and saying, I want to be that in a year or two. You know, I think they are kind of really looking to beef up a little bit. You know, I think you kind of see some of the smaller kids still here. Tase is obviously not huge as far as physical stature goes. And so I think while you say that again,
that he's a little schnurps.
Yeah, he's not the biggest guy, but I think you see some more mistakes in this class. I think you see some kind of silly mistakes. I think you see
this is a class that has potential for some broken dreams.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And so but I think with those kind of classes you also have the opportunity for some surprises, some breakouts. So we'll see. We've got it looks like a pretty wide group. I'm looking to see if I see any international riders or anything like that. We've got looks like at least one Canadian, two Canadians.
Yeah, I gotta give a shout out to Braxton Zeitner out of he's kind of out of like Calgary, Alberta. They're going a long way to go to that race. I expect big things of the kid. He's got some serious speed and he's young. I didn't think he was still AMA 12. I think he might be on the tail end of this class because he's been on 80s / like I think he rides a super mini back home. So he's gonna be someone to kind of grapple with. And like the two kids from Cairo, Georgia, I'd assume those are MTF kids. Like this is the sort of the class that really put MTF on the map, is having like basically perennial kids coming out of MTF and making some serious noise. So when it comes to Max Daniels and Tripp Glasgow, yeah, buckle up.
Yeah, without a doubt. I think this is where you really start to see kids taking it more serious, doing the training, putting in the time, and where you kind of start to see that separation between the kids with potential to make it mm-hmm. and the kids that are like, hey, man, you know, maybe I'd like to work in the industry or something like that. You know, maybe I really ought to start studying more in school because I don't necessarily know if this one's going to work out. So
that's funny. Like, do you think, like, this is totally a side note, but like, this is the age, maybe not 12, maybe that the 10 to 11 class, but like that super mini class, like 13 to 16, like, do you think those kids talk shit to each other at all? Or there's any like animosity of like, oh, so-and-so gets a video. Like, well, like, why are they videoing you? You ain't winning. Like, you think there's any shit like that? Like,
yes.
Because I don't remember being 13, and 13-year-olds were fucking mean.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't necessarily think it's like, I feel like as you get older, it's like chicks and money and stuff like that that is flexed. But yeah, I think these kids are, Yeah, maybe a little more chirpy.
Like this is where rivalries start.
Yeah, this
Maybe some
is
bad
kind
blood.
of,
Maybe some parents that aren't pumped on each other.
well, without a doubt. And I think there's a lot of that too. I think there's a lot of like dad leans over and he's like, if there's one motherfucker you're gonna beat this week, it's it. And you naturally kind of take that rivalry onto yourself, and it's just because the other kid's dad drank the last beer and your dad's pissed about it. But you know, I mean, like, you never really know. But yeah, I 100% think these guys are you know, kind of in each other's heads. And I think somebody like a Tace Morgan with maybe a little more national draw, you know, a little more people going to be paying attention to him and stuff like that. I think I always felt like those kids walked a little taller, you know, they carried, they just felt a little more like they belonged and like they had it. Whereas I think some of these other kids that are just showing up are like, man, I just hope I can have a good week. Whereas I think Tace is like, yeah, what's up? Like, I'm the guy. Like, yeah. A lot of these kids, like some of them, like I said, they're training at facilities and are riding with older riders. And I think a lot of that gives them a little more of shit to talk as well, where it's like, oh, well, I'm from Clermont, Florida. I get to see Jet like once a week. Like, you know what I mean? Like that kind of stuff. So, but yeah, without a doubt, I think there's rivalries, and I think I don't think they like each other. I'll put it like that. These kids
85cc
aren't
10
playing
to
in the sand
12,
afterwards.
there is not a single Kawasaki in this round, in this to qualify for this.
Interesting.
That is very surprising.
That is surprising.
So that there's like that Team Green unrepresented. This is just basically like KTM, Gas Gas. There is a handful of Yamahas. If even a handful, I think Tace is maybe the only one on a Yamaha. Yeah, I think he is. That's a huge changing of the guard. And like, I know KTM slash Gas Gas Husky is like, they're going to be doing some pulling back, but you can't argue with that platform. Like, when I was on 80s, the KTM, like you rode a KTM because that was the dealer closest to your house. And like, that's what your dad bought you. Like, there wasn't a lot of, like, there wasn't people racing out to go get a KTM because it was the hot ticket. It was more out of like probably convenience than anything. Now, like, doesn't matter what the color is, that platform seems to be like they've got something figured out.
Yeah, it's the whole event, the motos, the riders, everything. Like, I was just trying to scroll through and see who exactly won some of these regionals, because I think, like, we were talking about the expectation coming in, because this is one of those guys that's even for me that I don't really know everybody either. So, like, we were talking about the surprises. I'm trying to see exactly who it would be that I think is going to jump out and shock people. Like you said, you've got the
Like Ryder
it's a
Durango,
little,
I don't know if
yeah,
I,
right?
like that kid could lead laps. He could be 29th all weekend. I don't like I you know what I mean? Like, but like this is a class that it's very difficult to sort of like, if they're not really prominent on social media, which I hate to think that that's sort of like a measuring stick, but if they don't have a big following, or if they don't like they haven't been jumping off the page at me, they could be quietly going out and winning regionals. Like, I don't know who won the 85 10 to 12 class at Washougal, but I guarantee he's here. And
Right.
like, it very well could have been Jackson McCarthy out of Maple Valley, Washington. There's no one running number 16 in this class, by the way.
Well, to hell with this class then.
I do love some of the names, though. Kinley McCoy. I want him to do well. He's also from Tennessee. Also, partly this podcast is just to get you up on all the names.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that, because even last year before the race, I had to go through and I was like, oh, I don't know this kid. And I usually try to at least know a lot of the North Carolina guys, but now I feel I feel like I know a lot more of the names than I normally do because, like I said, I've been able to see a lot of these kids in different areas around the country.
Right.
Yeah, it's, let's see, 85, 10 to 12.
Yeah, and a couple of kids from Washington.
Yep.
Roush and Schneider.
Schneider.
From Rhinebeck, New York. I love it. And then Maddox Timmerman, he's on a Husky. Is that Enzo Timmerman's younger brother?
Possibly.
Must be. I think it's the same hometown. I can't remember I can't imagine there's multiple Timmerman families from the same country or town that go relate to Loretta's. But honestly, this is going to be a huge question mark class. I'm going to say that, that Tace Morgan takes this, even though he's the only one on a Yamaha. That's probably like by design that, like they were able to land one of the lead riders. I think he's got the speed. I think he's got the talent to take this class. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, I hate to just go off of reputation, but at the same time, like we said, that's kind of the name of this class is just who's really gotten on people's radars. I'll go Easton Gray. It's just a counter.
I think this is the year, like, cause like he's, Easton, this is his first full year on 85s. I usually find if you look back in the history of most guys, they don't usually win their first year when they graduate from one bike to the next.
How did Nolan Ford do in his qualifier?
He's out of California.
Yeah.
I think honestly, and like, the Moto Geek, Sawyer Geek is fast.
That was another one I was looking at was Geek.
And Aiden Goff is fast.
It's just so hard to know the,
well, that's why they come onto this race. Like, this is the whole point.
Well, no, it's just so hard to know the consistency side of things, especially for this age. That's kind of where, I don't know. I think it's hard to argue against Tace as far as just the full package. Yeah. So yeah, we'll go with Morgan.
Definitely. Yeah. I'm excited about it. Let's move on to a class that, honestly, like, I'm pulling this up, not because, like the 65 class, there's so many questions that need to be answered after this, as far as like where these kids end up. But historically, if you look back, there's also a lot of kids who, like, they were successful at this level and then they went on to do amazing things later on in their professional careers. The first one that obviously jumps off the page at me is Jaden Smart. The 42 in your program out of California. He's on a Cobra. Like, those things are absolute bullets when it comes to this, the smaller classes. I'm actually surprised they don't have an 85 out yet. They could just basically just own the lower end class or the youngest classes at the ranch. I've seen this kid live. I've seen him race. You've seen him race. It's always impressive. He's got more style on the bike than either one of us do. Don't count out Cade Nightingale. Don't count out Mason Murdy out of Canada. Like, there's a lot of kids here that can make life hard on Jaden Smart. But this is a class where he's already got. He's got three national championships at Loretta Lynn's. He's got three runner-ups. And like we said off air, he's one of the only kids that I've ever seen race the 4-6 class as a 4-year-old, a 5-year-old, and then win it as a 6-year-old.
Yeah, I think Jaden Smart is the guy with the target on his back. I mean, like you said, I've gotten to see him in person, and there's not really much to say other than the kid's legit. He's... You know, if you don't know the name, he was the kid that was jumping the Supercross triple at Charlotte last year on a
rather 65. Easily, by the way.
Yes, like throwing style by the end of the race over it. So he's also very, very well documented. You know, his whole family does that very well. He's part of the GoPro family. And so he's always got a lot of cameras and coverage and stuff like that. So, yeah, I think as far as an expectation standpoint goes, they're 100% looking for number one plates. So, and I think if he's able to execute like he wants to, if he gets a good start, I think he's in the right spot to do it. However, if he doesn't get a good start, I think some of those other riders, Nightingale and some of those guys, I think they have the potential to hold him up enough to where maybe he doesn't get a moto win. But I think if the circumstances work out by the second motos, like maybe he gets a bad gate pick and is only able to work up to a top five finish or something like that, I do think by the second and third motos, he's going to be able to execute and be at the top of the field. So the question is just whether or not he'll have the consistency to put it all together.
Certainly. The one thing that might trip him up is I think I've seen a few mud races where he seems to struggle. There's not a lot of kids at the age of 11 or 12 that are just mud specialists. And I hate to say that it might be a little bit of one of his kryptonites. I think he did also win a moto in the mud last year. So what am I saying? If there's anything that might be able to trip him up, if it like aside from his competition, it might be, a very muddy moto. Looking at the forecast, we are looking at obviously there's going to be thunderstorms. It's Tennessee in July,
late August. July, so, August. Yeah.
Deal with it. Another kid that kind of pops off the page at me is Joseph Vicari. So this kid has tons of great support. He's got lots of skill. He trains, down south. He's on he is down. I think he was at Game Moto, if I'm not mistaken, putting in some laps there. And also don't sleep on Eli Herrick. His sister's running the number one plate in the girls class. You know, the two of them spend a lot of time on their bikes. He's on a KTM. And in this class, I expect him to be up front the entire weekend.
He's got a point to prove. I'll put it like that. I think, with the experience, obviously with the family ties, I think, he's one of those guys where, once again, I feel like there's probably a list of 40 plus, 50 plus riders where it's like, if they can ride like we know they're capable of, then they should be up.
There's going to be 15 guys in the top five.
Right. But that's much easier said than done. And I think that's what is so interesting about this race is for some reason, sometimes there are riders where even throughout the rest of the year, they're up in the mix, they're battling. And for some reason, they're not able to put it together this specific week. And so, I think you get a little taste of things on Monday with practice, but that first moto really, it sets the whole tone for the whole week, you know, and you find a lot about what riders have got in the head upstairs, you know, how tough they are in the mind, because if you don't get that good moto, how do you respond to it? Because too often we see guys not get the result in moto one and it derails their entire week. So, I'm curious because it does look like the rain may possibly be early in the week as well. So that will be, interesting.
Track walk will looks like it's going to be in the rain. So
yeah.
Maybe it'll be track viewing, not so much track walking.
Yep. Track swim.
But that's the way she goes. I'm not going to get cute on this one. I'm going Jaden Smart for this championship. There's at least 10 kids on this list that are going to have something to say about that. I might get some texts from some angry parents. If I'm having to make a pick on this one, it's the 42 machine. He's going to be looking good. He's going to be ready to.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue that one either. I've seen enough, and I feel like he's got the ability to do it. I think he executes well under pressure. So, yeah, I'm going to go Jaden Smart as well.
Love it. Last class that we're going to talk about before sort of just wrapping things up, and then we're also going to spin the clocks back to 2004 and see what was happening at the ranch 20 goddamn years ago when these kids weren't even thought of, is the girls 11 to 16 class. This is a wide age group. You've got a returning champion in Mala Herrick coming back all the way out of Thornton, Colorado. You've got a ton of talent, as well as the youngest Reed. Kaya Reed is gonna be in this class as well. Both Kate and Kaya are running the number 22. Of course, their dad ran that number 99% of his pro career in the States. What was the other number that he ran? 2002.
I don't know. What was it?
103 of
102?
chat.
103.
103
I
of
was
chat.
close. I was close.
You were very close.
Yeah.
But all eyes are going to be on Mala Herrick. But this is to me, this is Lachlan Turner, otherwise Lala Turner's championship to win. She was hurt earlier this year. She's going from KTMs onto to big bikes, but I think she's running a KT, they, she's listed on a KTM, but she's been riding Yamahas lately. Would not be surprised to see, although it's not uncommon, especially in the girls classes, to see like riding one manufacturer in one class and then riding a different manufacturer in the other class, based on what you think you ride better on, or like, you know, because I think, perfect example, Isla Phillips is on a Husqvarna in this class, and then in the girls class and the women's class, like WMX, she's on a KTM. That's staying in the same group, but yeah, Lachlan Turner, I got to ride to watch her firsthand at Mesquite, and she straight up won a super mini moto with Dane Pappas and all those boys in that class, and walked away from them. So take that for what you will. My money in this class is on Lachlan Turner.
Well, that's kind of exactly what I was going to say was, I think Herrick has had a really strong performance last year. Obviously, like she earned that number one. And, I think it's cool when somebody runs the number one at Loretta's too.
Always.
And so I give her props for that. But I don't think you can argue against Turner. I mean, to my understanding, she's healthy. She feels good.
She rides like a dude.
I've also said that again.
She rides like a dude.
Oh, dude, that's what I mean. Like you'd have no idea. Like it's Andy Carson, 2.0, basically. You'd have no idea whether if she strapped on a dude's helmet and went out there and waxed you. Like there's no shame in it. And so I think with that kind of intensity and with that experience, yeah, I think without a doubt this is the 99's year.
Yeah, no, I think she's gonna be flying out there, watching her race against the boys. And I'm sure as an announcer, you've seen this too. When you get a young lady that has her level of talent, and it sometimes just rubs guys the wrong way to see a ponytail pass you. And it's so funny to watch these kids who they get past, and all of a sudden it's just like they see red. And they're like, ain't no way I'm getting beat by a girl in this race, and it drives them absolutely nuts. I saw a lot of that when I watched her at the Thanksgiving race. Pappas and the rest of the boys, they were having none of it. But unfortunately for them, she had a little bit more speed, a little bit more skill, and I think she actually ended up winning the Super Mini class at the Thanksgiving classic.
Yeah, it's funny because it is very much like that motocross movie where it's like when you realize it's a girl so often, it's obviously you never hit a lady, but all of a sudden there's a lot of insides being taken and a lot of front ends being sawed off and stuff like that. I got no shame in saying it. Jordan Jarvis whooped my ass more than once here in North Carolina,
Oh yeah.
and yeah, I mean, I
There's
did what
local
I
girls that
could, but.
beat me. There's like
Yeah,
this three, there's like
even
a
if
four
I.
pack of ladies that like, I might be faster than like the slowest of the four.
Yeah, it's and
If
that's
I'm
what it
feeling
got
it.
to a point where it was funny because my dad, I feel like probably most of the dads are like, oh, you got beat by a girl, but like even like I'm like, dude, she's hauling ass. Like I
Yeah.
don't know what this and everybody kind of laughs at it because it's like. It's funny, but at the same time, it's like you got to give props where props is due. She's rolling, and so just even seeing videos of her because I haven't seen her ride in art probably since last Loretta's, and so yeah, it's gonna be it's impressive to say the least. And like you said, it's almost a whole different riding style than a lot of the other female racers with just the aggression and intensity. And So if anything, I almost hope she gets like a eighth place start and we get to see her use that, because it's fun to watch how skilled she is and how good she is at making passes. And so I think the speed's there. I think the fitness is there. She's the one to beat.
Yeah, no, she certainly is. And I think she's also in the women's class. I'm having a hard time pulling it up. They always have it kind of funny. Yeah, it's at the top rather than the bottom next to the girls' class. I just wanted to pull this up quick. So the WMX class, she's in that as well. And then she's listed on a gas. So she's for sure running that class on a Yamaha. Unless she's just been practicing on a Yamaha and going to the ranch on a different manufacturer. I doubt that very much. But I'm sure that's just what she, qualified on. There's a ton of talent in here, and I wanted to see Stallings is coming back. She's running the number one. But what about, what's the other girl's name? Phelps. Is she here? I don't think she is. No Sophie no, Phelps. That's going to be big. That opens up things up because there. She was 10 seconds a lap faster than anyone on the track all weekend long. I don't think she even won a moto, but she was on the ground every single, like, I think she also raced 250B. She just never had a good start and put herself back too much in the previous round. I think if I'm not mistaken, in 2023, Stallings took all three, if not at least two of the motos. We'll like finishing the last class. I just wanted to look at this one right quick.
Yeah.
Jarvis is in here. She's racing. Gear tent. This year she's racing. Yep.
Jarvis is back. She did some GNCCs early in the year, and then she kind of switched back over to a full moto program. I don't really know where she's at as far as conditioning, race shape, comfort on the bike and stuff like that. Now underneath her, Taylor Jones, multi-time accomplished WXC racer in GNCC. She's thrown her leg back over a bike and has gotten back racing. Corey Steed, who is 44 down on the list. She is currently, I believe she's the points leader, or she's the first or second in the WXC class currently in GNCC. She's in great shape and had a really strong performance at the regional. And so I'm curious to see what Steed's able to do. I believe she's got a title at one point at Loretta's, but I just Stallings has really looked strong. I'm trying to see.
I'm always amazed with Stallings for how hard she can ride and how aggressive she can be for someone who is she 110 pounds?
She's like, definitely lighter.
Yeah, little. She's 5'4", 5'5"-ish, and throws around at 250 better than I do.
Better than most.
Yeah, no, she'll be good. But honestly, this might be crazy, but this might be one of the first years that we see the girls' class and WMX won by the same person. I like Lachlan Turner in this class every bit as much as I like her in the girls' class.
It's entirely possible. I think those are the battle, the one in the 99. And it's funny because I think that's in both classes, the one in the 99 in WMX, and then it's the one in the 99 in girls 11 to 16.
Yeah.
Mayla Herrick and So, it's easy for Lala. It's the same number. Just make sure they're behind you. So, yeah, exactly. And I think if she does that, I think there will be one and two. So, it's going to be fun to watch, man. It's like I said, this really does. It tells the future of the sport to come. I mean, whether it's the future of WMX, which, you know, seems to be going in a strong direction, or whether it's, you know, the 50 class that's going to be the pros in 10 to 15 years. We're talking about jumping back to 2004.
And you ready to jump in the time machine?
Yeah, let's take a look at some of these names, because, I mean, it's crazy. Let's go. What are you going to do? 54-6 AMA class one?
Sure.
All right. Let's see who we got here.
Oh, right off the hop, you got Blake Green.
Yep.
If you remember, did you ever watch, it was called Golden Era?
Yes. Yep, yeah. Got Dino on 128.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. He's in this. He's got a great segment. He's on a 65 at the time. Obviously, like a triple one performance, that's about as good as you can get in the 50 class back in the day. His pro career didn't exactly, he fizzled out just before ended up making it to the pros. I actually opened this while you were talking earlier, and there's actually a number of riders in this class that, like, they had great amateur careers, but then didn't end up.
Yeah.
Really, like Ashton Hayes.
I'm kind of shocked here in
Ryan Cochran, is that Casey's older brother?
I have no idea. I don't know whether. Is Casey from Florida?
Yeah, he's a Florida kid.
Oh, okay.
Chase Bell.
Yep, I was about to say Bell.
Mark Worth.
Let's go up a little bit. I'm going to do 65, 7 to 11 mod.
7 to 11 mod. Okay, now we got some heavy hitters.
Okay, Treadle, Tomac.
Okay, but like in 2004, if you had quizzed someone like, hey, what's Sean Reif going to do as a pro? Like, you would have assumed that he would like have a better pro career than Blake Baggett.
Yeah.
Who goes 2 DNF 2. Or, yeah, I can't believe, Todd Bannister. If you look into the time qualifying every single year, usually it's like the first three or four rounds of Supercross, that guy's in time qualifying. He might not be in the fast 40, but Todd Bannister.
What class are you
looking
at right now?
Sorry?
What class are you looking at?
65, 7 to 11.
Oh, I'm sitting here. I clicked on 85, 7 to 11. Oh,
sorry.
Let's see here.
Justin Bogle's in there. Hey, so if there's a kid out there or there's a parent who's listening to this and they're worried about their kid going 25, 23, 16, and that's not a good weekend, well, that's what Justin Bogle got, and that guy had a 15-year-long professional career.
Yep. Yep. I mean, Anderson, 3-2-6.
Jesse Nelson's in this class. Killy Rush.
Jacob Hayes. So he'll be making the return.
Sure. Blake Dungy's in this.
Blake Dungy, yep.
These are some names. Jason Anderson.
Yeah, I encourage all of the listeners, if you haven't before, go to the Loretta Lynn's vault and just pick a year.
Yeah. Like Brandon Mays. That's literally B Maisy. Like, and all the hilariousness that comes along. Let's look at the super minis. This is a lot of these guys, unfortunately, you're like, where did these guys go? Like,
what is this, 105?
Yeah, 105 super mini, 12 to 15.
Lemoyne, man, that's a name I haven't heard in a bit.
Yep. Pacone. I've never heard of Craig Dubé.
Mm-mm.
Out of, what's ME? Maine?
That's Maine.
Maine.
Tyler Wharton.
Yeah, Tyler Wharton.
Yep.
Of course, the older brother to Blake. Justin Weeks. Yep.
Cole Seeley and Ryan Dungy, 8th and 9th.
Yeah, Dungy had a bad first moto. Otherwise, he probably would have been in the top 5. And that can happen.
Isn't it crazy how that could have possibly changed his whole amateur career? Like, imagine if he went 3-4.
Yeah.
Or something like that, and wound up getting a title, and all of a sudden he was in the mix with Zach Osborne, who I think was a much more known amateur. Like,
oh, for sure.
It really is crazy, like, how much. 17th, Josh Thomas, he grew up right down the road from me. He still was badass on a motorcycle.
Hunter Hewitt, he had some pro races. Trevor Reese, he raced some pro as well.
Darren Durham, 41st place.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Do you think that he was possibly an alternate then?
No, nah, because it said DNF, DNS, 39. It's a bad, bad week.
That's, maybe it'd be a quiet ride home, probably.
Yeah. And then 125 stock, 12 to 15, Josh Hill. Cody Gilmore, who actually races the Bagger Racing League now. And is kicking ass in that. Yep. He's still knows how to haul ass even on the asphalt. So
Brock Tickle. There's actually kids like Tyler Bowers is in that class. Jimmy Albertson's in that class.
Sean Hackley.
Yeah, and we'll probably see Sean Hackley this week.
Probably gonna be hanging out, coaching some kids again. There's Albertson. Will Hahn.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Where's Will Hahn? Oh yeah, he's Will Hahn like would go on to win an outdoor like he would hole shot a bunch of outdoors and win a 250 Supercross title. But when in 2004 when he goes 26, 27, 10 on a Honda 125, probably not a lot of people call him that.
Yeah, definitely probably not. The phone probably wasn't ringing off the hook. 125B modified J Law 112. Curious to see how he's going to do this year. What are your predictions with that?
Yeah, that is like when it comes to when like you talk about athletes that have a wide range of outcomes.
Yeah,
then like the ceiling might not be higher, and the floor might not be lower. Like there's a basement of what could possibly go on. What first of all, what classes is he in? Is he in the plus 25 class?
He's in plus 25. Yeah, I believe so. Yeah. He got, I believe, like third or fourth at the regional. He wasn't in the battle, but he was up towards the front.
Okay.
Martin Davalos. Man, that's crazy. And then let's go to Open AA Pro Sport. It was
Ryan Sipes.
Sipes. Gavin Grasick.
Yeah. Nick Evenue. Justin Keeney, all these guys raced pro eventually.
Carl Schlack, 17th. He's also with the Bagger Racing League now. He does our social
Andy
media.
Andy Backen. Mike McDade.
Wow, that's a throwback.
Hell
Mike
yeah.
McDade.
Charles Kastlew.
Serious racewear Honda, man.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Dude, I Teddy Mayer is in that class. He DNF'd, probably like broke. Like the sad, I wouldn't say the saddest part, but like one of the things that always bums me out is like you don't get out of like the practice day without somebody ending their week.
Yep.
And like last year, I think it was there's a kid on a super mini. They were sending that double next to the announcing tower and just like framed it and snapped his femur.
It's terrible, dude. I mean, I remember that one year Burkeen went over the front end on the doubles right before the finish line. He was running, I think, B-class. He was on a Suzuki. And same thing, just absolutely tacoed his arm. And, I mean, that's the thing is I guarantee you there's probably a kid between today, tomorrow, and Saturday that'll break a bone.
Yep, collarbone or something.
They need one more ride. They need, you know, and it's just
shave a tenth of a second.
It's kind of crazy because I mean, it was funny because I mean, I really tried very hard and put in a lot of effort, but man, the week and a half before Loretta's, dude, I didn't do anything. I didn't ride. I did, you know, some training and stuff like that. But it's like I think there's something to be said about showing up and wanting to ride. Whereas I think some people are just like, fuck this, dude. I'm so tired of pounding motos. So, yeah, man, it's fun. That's cool little time machine, man. It's crazy to see how that all works out. And I honestly, I would love to know how many of those people are involved in the industry and somehow today, whether it be at a local shop, whether it be a rep, whether it be a mechanic of some kind. You know, I mean, that's what I think is so crazy is you know, walking around this next week, I'm going to meet so many individuals from different brands or different part companies or whatever, and somehow they've all got a tie back to this race. And for so many of them, it's they raced it, or they had a sibling that raced it, or you know, they spent so much time there. So it really is. It's nostalgic not only for the racers that are participating in it today, but all of these riders and these past racers come back, and it's just like, man, so much has changed, but at the same time, the overall concept is the same, man. It's, you know, do what you got to do for 20 plus two and you know, we'll see at the end of the week. So
for sure. And one of my favorite things about the race is that, like, as on the same day that, like, say in 2004, Ryan Sipes goes 1-1-2 and essentially graduates from, he's a Team Green kid. He finished it off that particular season. He was actually racing up in Canada. He finishes off that professional season and then goes off and races professional outdoor nationals for the better part of 15 years. Like 2 years ago before he got hurt, or two, 3 years ago before he got hurt, he was racing pro. So 15-year-long pro career was basically like that. This was the diving board that set us off onto that. And then on the very same weekend in the 50 class, like, you have Chris Aldridge, who would end up going on and racing for Pro Circuit Kawasaki. That kid's getting his feet wet at his first time going to the ranch in the 51cc 7-8 class. Like that, both of those stories happened on the same weekend. And
oh yeah,
same
while that was going on in the 85 7-11 class, this some random dude by the name of Eli Tomac was going 2-2-2 for second behind Ian Treadle in the 85 7-11 modified.
That's right.
Justin Starling, fifth, like Mookie, sixth place. Like
Nico Izzy is there with the Verb camera crew are just glued to the Izzy Kennard PJ Larson battle.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's Zach Bell getting 29th. Dylan Slusser was 23rd. Like
Aaron O'Dell, Kyle Regal.
Yeah, man, and that's what I mean is I think the thing that makes it so special to me, and the reason that I enjoy, especially now being able to be a part of it, you know, I've got a lot of cool opportunities with this race. Obviously, I got to race it in 2015. I got to perform in 2022. I'm sure we'll talk about out at the ranch. And then, you know, now really getting to see it from a bird's eye view up in the tower, man, it's so cool to see the different storylines, man. You get kids that, you know, they come up after the race, they finish second, and they're sitting there giving a full debrief with the Team Green team. They're talking about what happened, what went wrong. You know, it's like a full factory rider breakdown. And then seven positions behind them, the kid that got ninth that wasn't expected to do anything is sobbing in his parents' arms, just so pumped that he's there. Like, all of that stuff's going on at one time. And I think that is, it's really what separates that race from everything else is the amount of effort and pressure that one race has, man. It's fun, man. It's really cool to see. And I think this year's just going to be another year of crazy stories and surprises and disappointments and rain and heat and epic racing at Loretta's.
Love it, man. Well, you have an original song called Out at the Ranch. It's 1000% inspired by this race and this race alone. I've been finishing off my podcast with it for quite some time, or leading up to it. And this will be the last podcast that we release before going to Out at the Ranch. So why don't you tee it up for me?
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, it's made with the racer in mind, man. It's a special race, and it's a niche song that only a few are going to get, but if you get it, you're one of the very special few that have gotten to experience Loretta Lynn's MX. And so till then, for Brad Gebhardt from Big MX, I'm Zach Herron. We'll see you guys out at the ranch.
Welcome to Best 42 in the land. All ages from kids up to grown men. Walk through the gates of the coal miner's daughter to make a point clearer than the creek water. Who's the best? Who's it gonna be? In Hurricane Mills, Tennessee. Can you feel the adrenaline? Dirt flies hypnotized by the wind spin. Hear the crowd, everybody's whistling. Times this one week of racing could change your life. Everybody knows this is where it all begins. Do what you gotta do for 20 plus 2 out at the ranch. Golf cart, fans. Play the national anthem and everybody stands. Smell the smoke from the two strokes riding by. The 30-second card's on its side.
It's time to get
it on. Can you feel the adrenaline? Dirt flies hypnotized by the wheel spin. Hear the crowd, everybody's whistling. Line on the field. If you can put it all together three times, this 1 week of racing could change your life. Everybody knows this is where it all begins. Do what you gotta do for 20 plus 2.